The results are rolling in from Denver's local election, but what's come in thus far is at least painting a picture of what's ahead. Joining me to discuss are two of our friends from CityCast Denver, Bree Davies and Paul Carolla. Good morning to you both.
Good morning,
Shannon.
Well, you were both up late last night watching these election results roll in, and we at least now know that a field of 16 mayoral candidates has been narrowed down to two, or at least the top three. Tell us about that.
Gosh, I mean, we knew we were in for a slog. You know, we knew this was going to be a late night, although I would say we kind of knew early on in the evening what it was going to look like. And that was that Mike Johnston and Kelly Bruff, the two biggest fundraisers in the race, are in the top. Like you said, there's a third, Lisa Calderon. That's questionable, as I think our friends at the clerk and recorder's office said they had 65,000 ballots to count today, and they'll have their next update at two.
And what was turnout like?
Turnout was okay. It was definitely looking really low in the lead up to Election Day yesterday, but in the end, it was about 38%, which is lower than the last time we had one of these municipal elections in 2019, but higher than 2015. So I think par for the course.
Any big surprises?
You know, I think District 9, there being a runoff there was really interesting to me. That's an incumbent. Candice Zavaca is up against Daryl Watson. I honestly didn't see that coming. I will admit, though, we didn't watch the city council races as close as we were watching the mayor's race, just because that just took up so much of our time and airspace. But I know she's in it to fight. I'm just really interested to see how that runoff goes and what kind of messaging we'll be getting from both of those campaigns.
What about District 10 as well?
Well, District 10 is another one that's wide open, or that was wide open. Chris Hines was the incumbent, and he got national news a couple of months ago for this incident where there was no ADA accessibility at a debate. So I don't know about anyone else, but I kind of assumed he was going to cruise to victory, but that was not the case. He is looking at a runoff against Noah Kaplan, a newcomer, or Shannon Hoffman, who's affiliated with the more progressive slate. Although it seems like Shannon's got a little bit of a tougher hill to climb to get into that runoff.
In the case of District 9, I was very surprised. I just took it as a given that Candice Zavaca would cruise to her next term in office. How many people were in that field? You know, was it also a crowded race?
No, actually it wasn't. It was just three of them. Quan Atlas was the third. I think he's run before. I know he's sort of he's connected with the Hancock administration in some capacity.
I don't know. There was like a sort of group of progressive candidates that were running for different offices across the city. And Candy's in question. Chantel Lewis also is one of the candidates from that slate who's also in a runoff. But the rest of their candidates, I don't believe, made it. Shannon Hoffman, Sarah Parody was at large. There was a couple of Tiffany Caudill who was up against Kevin Flynn. So that was, I don't know, I don't think it was a referendum on progressive attitudes in the city. I think it was just an interesting turn in something that a lot of us in politics didn't necessarily see coming.
I don't know. I think that is an important takeaway here. I mean, this is a night where we saw big progressive victories in Chicago and Wisconsin.
Right.
And here in Denver, we just didn't see that. I mean, I don't think anyone would look at our top two mayoral contenders here and say, Denver is going to have a more progressive mayor. I think what people are going to be saying about this is that we're going to have some version of what we are used to for the last 12 years. Both of these candidates, Johnston and Bruff, are very deeply embedded in the establishment of the Democratic Party in this city and this state.
Let's dig into that in just a bit, but I want to talk about vote splitting, because there were some very
right.
progressive candidates on the ballot, each with their own really interesting viewpoints. But at what point does it become counterproductive to have so many progressive candidates splitting the votes in a way that somebody
right,
who's
right.
more establishment just comes in and grabs it because they're lesser in number?
Well, there was the establishment candidates, like Paul said, Bruff worked for Hickenlooper, Johnston is, well, he's been in politics for a long time as well. He was also the one, I think he was the biggest fundraiser. But also, I think
Definitely.
We can't overlook when we talk about this, Andy Rougeau
got 12%, which again, those of us calling these races, I don't think necessarily saw coming. So he got more than I think some of those progressive candidates combined. If we look at Ian Thomas Tafoya, Leslie Harrod would be someone else people thought of as progressive. Lisa Calderon, again, also doing pretty well. But I see what you're saying, though, Shannon. If maybe Lisa wasn't up against other folks, this might be a different story.
Right. And let's talk about Mike Johnston, who has the lead of all of the 16 with what was like 25% of the vote at this point. What policies does he tend to champion?
Well, Mike Johnston is in a really interesting position because he took a very strong position on homelessness. That was a huge issue in this campaign. He came out strong with a really thoughtful plan, which was to end unsheltered homelessness in Denver in his first term. He wants to do that by taking a lot of the money from the state, from Proposition 123 we passed last year, and put that towards funding these micro communities. But the interesting thing for him, I think, is that he was endorsed by YIMBY Denver, which are the big like density folks. He was also a champion of the Yes on 2-0 ballot measure, which would have been allowing the developers of the Park Hill Golf Course to build parks and homes and stuff. But that vote went down, whereas Mike Johnston seems to be very popular. So something is happening where voters in Denver are liking this message about density and having like a really solid plan for homelessness. But at the same time, they're still skeptical of developers, or at least the developers associated with the Park Hill Golf Course.
Yeah, I would say also associated with the Hancock administration. I think that's the other thing, is we're looking at a residual deal that involved something when Hancock was in office. And there's a lot of feeling from some Denverites who have been here for a long time that Hancock has always just been a developer's buddy kind of mayor. And I think that whether or not that's true with what happened with Yes or with 2-0, I think that that sort of that connection is still there. But it will be very interesting to see after the runoff what the next mayor does with a property, with a situation like that, or what happens with the golf course, because we're still going to have conversations about it.
Another challenging thing about Mike Johnson's situation here is that early in the campaign, he got into some hot water for some racially insensitive mailers where he made some enemies. And, you know, that's the other thing about these two candidates. They're both white. I mean, we had a really diverse field. So I saw this morning already a couple of people of color leaders here in Denver, Aonte Anderson from the school board, Wanda James, a CU regent, who have both already thrown their support towards Brough.
Hmm. So tell us very briefly, because we only have a minute left, who is Brough and what is she likely to do? Why would she garner that support, for example?
Kelly Brough is the former CEO of the Denver Chamber of Commerce, former chief of staff for Mayor Hickenlooper when he was mayor. She's one of these people who's just been working with and championing the business community for a long time. And I think that's going to be her challenge here in the next 2 months, is how to show the liberal, worker-friendly voters of Denver that some of the positions she took as CEO of the Chamber of Commerce are not necessarily how she's going to be leading the city as mayor, or how she would.
Well, we are up against time. And again, this is just the complexity and the sheer numbers of people that have been running for this race has made coverage tough just because it's so crowded. But if you'd like to find out more, well, and, you know, in CityCast Denver interviewed just about every candidate. Is all but what, one you got a refusal or you didn't hear back from?
Didn't hear back from three.
Okay. You can hear more about all of these issues, including on the Park Hill Golf Course, by checking out the CityCast Denver podcast or by tuning in on Mondays. We play an excerpt weekly. So I want to thank you, Bree Davies and Paul Caroli, for coming on the program this morning.
Thanks so much, Shannon.